You know, I'm so glad you're here today because we're not only launching a new series, Imagine More, but we're also entering into, as a church, a new season that we've never been in before, where we're going to be looking toward our future church home. We're talking about what God's calling us to do, this vision that God has for us in our future. And the exciting thing is, I believe that this journey is going to be one that's going to change the course of this church, and it's going to change the face of this community forever, all because of Jesus. And so I'm excited about what God's going to do. So the stakes are raised, right? The expectation is high. But here's the thing. This is such the Imagine More vision that I'm going to be sharing with you over the next 4 weeks is a big, big vision. It's our vision, really, of what it looks like to go from where we are today into our future. And it really requires, in a lot of ways, we're talking about where we're beginning to give financially toward this goal, this vision of having a future church home. So that's what I'm going to be sharing with you, not only today, but over the next 4 weeks. So glad you guys are here for the very beginning of it. And I have to tell you that this is a big vision. It's a God-sized vision that goes well beyond what facility alone can do. Because the truth is, it only is going to happen as you and I lean in, as we depend on Jesus, and really, as we boldly step forward into what God has for us next. Now, the truth is, the Fountain has always been a church. Our story has always been that, where God has always taken us from where we are and said, I want you to imagine more. And I want you to take a step forward into that new calling, not knowing how it's all going to happen, but knowing that I'm leading you. And through that, I'm going to do a work in your life, and I'm going to do a work in your church, and I'm going to impact people through it. That's our story. In fact, some of you have heard this before, but many of you know that the Fountain is just 4.5 years old. We started in March 2012 when we launched our weekly public worship services. And this church was really God's dream and God's vision from the very beginning. In fact, one of the things that happened was Mandy and I were just really sensing, not just sensing, but we knew that God was calling us to plant a church somewhere in this area. And we didn't tell anybody about it. We were happy with the ministry we were doing. We were excited about the calling that God was putting on our heart. But we said, yeah, right, maybe that won't happen. But we felt like God was calling us to it. At the same time, some of the leaders in the United Methodist Church started looking around and praying and saying, God, where do we, you know, this area right here looks to be, this is an area where we have to have a church. And they contacted me, we connected together, and that vision, my calling, our vision, merged with the vision that they already had. And we didn't tell anybody about it, but it was one of those things where those things merged together, and we were sent here 9 months before the church started to really create something from scratch that didn't yet exist. A church that would reach people who were far from God, to reach people who weren't connected to a local church, and could grow every single person closer to Jesus every day, step by step. And so, really, we started with a shoestring and a prayer. Anybody like that in your life? And maybe you can think of, if you're married, maybe, I remember first year of marriage and everything. That's kind of how it felt like, shoestring and a prayer. Maybe you've got stories like that in your life. But this church really started from nothing. It was something that was birthed from the very heart of God and his desire to reach and to connect people to him. And so it started with just two people. We moved into our house and we knew that God said go, but we didn't know what all was going to look like. And so we started with limited resources. We didn't have a church name at first. And so it was one of those things where we were telling people, we're starting a church. And people don't know that, like, people don't have this concept of there's going to be a church until you start worshiping. So everybody's like, oh, where's your church? You know, it's like, well, we don't have a church yet. We don't have people yet, but we're starting a church. And we don't have a church name, but come be part of it. You know, it was real fun. But anyway, what's been fun about this, what's been cool is the faithfulness of God. How God was so faithful with the vision that he had really planted in our hearts to lead all people into a growing relationship with him. And so, so many of you have joined us along this journey. So many of you have come and have found Jesus here, and your kids have connected here and have found really a connection to God in this church. And the truth is, if I can be honest, I'm not surprised you're here. And it's really because we've been praying that you would be here. We were praying for so long that I remember when we first moved into the area, we used to live in this neighborhood where it was kind of like sits over top of a lot of the community. And we would just look over at the community and we could see all the rooftops everywhere of all these people. This is kind of a newer area. And so we would look around and we just really, really just felt like the prompting of God saying, these are people that I love. I want to reach this community and I want you to be part of it. And so we were praying, like, God, we just pray that you would help us to do whatever it takes short of sin to reach people who are far from God and disconnected from a church, to reach people into a growing relationship with Jesus. And so we prayed for that. And leaders in our church have been praying for that year after year after year. And so each year as we've continued to grow, so many of you have joined us along the journey. And so I want you to know there was some prayer work that was going in on that. And I'm glad you're here. But anyway, I want to echo what Tom Trezise said in the video. What a great testimony he has. He's got a lot of testimony that he could share about this church and about what God's done in his life and even in some of his history of some stuff with just leadership and what he's experienced. But anyway, I want to echo this. God is doing something special here. God is doing something special here. In fact, it's one of those things that's not, it is that God is reaching the younger generation, but it's also that God is connecting people who were disconnected from Jesus before. Praise be to God. And I also want to say that he has big plans, not only for what he did back then, but for what God wants to do in the future. This is just the beginning, if you will, of what the story that God is writing in this church. And you and I, we all get to be part of it. It's almost like God is creating a movement, and all of us get to journey with God on this movement to be a part of what he wants to do in people's lives. As I have to tell you, as we talk about an Imagine More campaign, this is so much more. It is a financial initiative, but it's so much more than that. For those of you who have been part of some of our things ever since May, you can ask some of the people around here. One of the things that people have said so many times is, I've been so surprised by this. Because I think what most people think when they think of a campaign is some, you know, preacher in a flashy suit getting up and saying, you know, all right, the church just needs some more money. We're going to build something in brick and mortar. No, no, no. What people have said to us on this journey with us is like, I've been so surprised because God is really at work in this. This is more than a financial initiative. It's maybe more importantly, a spiritual journey. It's a spiritual journey where I believe that if you lean in and if you participate, that God is going to speak and God is going to work, not only in this church, not only in this community, but God wants to work in your life. And the truth is, we can raise some money, you know? We could build a facility, but if the Spirit of God is not in this place, and if the Spirit of God doesn't speak to us and empower us all, then none of that really matters. Because the truth is, without Jesus, it's just a building. It's just some money. But that's why this campaign has to be a spiritual journey. Because the thing is, I don't want to go through this whole journey of here's what we're called to do, and we miss Jesus along the way. That's my biggest prayer, that we wouldn't miss Jesus and what God wants to do in your life and in mine. And so if you lean in and if you participate with what God's going to do, God is going to grow your faith. He's going to grow your trust. He's going to grow your love for him in ways that go so much more than you could ever ask or imagine, immeasurably more than you can imagine. And so as we move together, we're going to experience him, I pray, more than we ever have before. So anyway, here's our theme verse for this campaign, the Imagine More series, is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Some of you may know this before because back in March, we memorized it as a church. It was almost like God was prepping us for this reality of what he's calling us into. And here's what it says. It's the Apostle Paul writing, and he says this: now to him, that's Jesus, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Now, the thing I love about this is I love how kids have this like amazing imagination. You know, I love how like my son, Peyton, my daughter, Kelsey, they'll put on like Superman masks and Batman stuff and dress up as, you know, princesses. And they have this crazy imagination about stuff. And the thing is, God has placed things in our hearts and vision in our minds. But God is saying to us, dream about the craziest thing that you can ever imagine happening in your life and in this community, and I want to blow your mind. I want to do something immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine, not only in this church, but also in this community. So when you're driving around with people in your neighborhood and your friends, I want to do something in their lives, and I want to use you. I want to use you at the fountain to do that. In fact, one of the things I love about this is something I want us to really take ownership of, because I truly believe God wants to do more. And as much as he's done in our life, as much as he's doing in our church, God wants us to look around and to catch his vision for more. And so the thing is, Jesus is alive and he's always moving and he wants to do something. He wants to continue growing and shaping and reaching more people. And so here's the thing, we've always been a church. Here's a little bit about the vision of who we are. Every single Sunday, I say we're a church that's leading people to life, hope, purpose, and wholeness through Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means that in everything, we're here to lead people closer to Jesus. Now, here's the thing. One of the things that we know from the beginning, we've always been a church that's had a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission. That's Rick Warren. He said that. But this has been our heart. A great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission. Kind of a tongue twister a little bit, isn't it? But anyway, the great commission, you see this every week as you walk out from these doors. There's signs that remind us of our mission. Love God, love people, and make disciples. In fact, that's the great commandment. Love God and love people. The Bible, God says in the scriptures, he says, I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. In other words, I want you to love me with everything you got, with every ounce of your being. And the truth is, the way that God grows our love for him, the way that God grows our faith in him, our faith has to have something to push against in order for it to grow. And so God uses things like this to grow our faith and to grow our trust and to grow our love for him. So it's going to be a way that we can grow our love for God. But also God says, I want you to be about loving people as well. Love God and love people. This is the greatest commandment. But then Jesus, right before he leaves this earth, he gives us the Great Commission. And it's our mission on this earth. It's really the marching orders that come straight from Jesus in Matthew chapter 28. And the thing that I love, these are the last words that Jesus said on this earth before he was taken up into heaven and sitting now at the right hand of the throne of God. And so it's almost like he's got the disciples in the huddle. Hey, I just died on the cross, big deal. But hey, surprise, I'm back. But now I'm going up to heaven. But I want to tell you one thing that I want you to be about before I leave. This is what I want you to do. So they're in the huddle. And then they say, break. Jesus goes into heaven and right after that. But here's what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. It says this, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is the great commandment, or this is a great commission. And it's really our mission that God wants us to be on in this world. The great commission is this. I want you to go and make disciples. It's not just for preachers. It's for anybody who's a follower of Jesus. He wants to use you to help connect the dots in people's lives. It means a couple things. It means God wants us to be about reaching new people and helping them to follow Jesus. But it also means that we're to help every single person to grow in their faith and to grow in their walk with Jesus every single day. So it's about reaching and it's about growing, making disciples. And Jesus promised us at the very end of this, he didn't just say, all right, break, I'm going off to heaven, peace out, good luck, guys. Because the disciples, you know, they messed up so many times, just like we do. And, you know, they had their mouth gapped open like, well, I mean, I can't do all this that Jesus just like raised from the dead and healed people and all sorts of things. And you're telling me you want me to do even greater things than this, like go and make disciples? Jesus said, remember, I'm with you always. The thing that I love is one of my seminary professors used to say is that God has more invested in your life. God has more invested in your ministry than you do. God has more invested in it. And the thing I love about this is I want to just say this over our church. God has more invested in the ministry of this church and the ministry he wants to do out in this community than even we do. Now, so many of us, we set up pipe and drape, we sweat for Jesus, we give financially, we serve our hearts out, you know, we do everything that we can to connect people to Jesus. But as much as we care about the mission of God, Jesus cares even more because it's his mission. He wants to reach, he wants to love, he wants to grow people closer to him, and he invites us all to be part of it. And so Jesus's last words to us are this: it's action. It's not just sit here, hang out, have a party. It's no, I want you to go. And I want you to go and make disciples. You know, it's almost like he's saying, look, you can't just stay here. You can't just stand in a holy huddle in the presence of God and all of God. Then I'm commissioning you to go out because you've got work to do. You've got a message to share with the world, the message of Jesus. And so in other words, this is our mission. But here's the thing that happens. Over time, it's easy for a church to forget that mission. It's easy for people to forget that mission and instead to only look around to the needs of each other. And that happens so many times. John Kinney once said that when a church spends all of its time focused inwardly, then over time it starts to become a monument to itself. So when we all turn in the holy huddle and we never look out to the needs of the world, we start to become a monument to ourselves. Now, if you go, I've traveled to Europe before. How many of y'all have ever been to Europe before? Yeah, it's a pretty beautiful place, amazing place. Some of y'all know I'm a singer. That's what I did in college. Don't get to do that a whole lot anymore, but I did classical music, and we would take these trips to Europe as a choir at Mercer, and we would sing like in these amazing cathedrals, and we would walk into these places, and it was like, man, these places are like huge monuments that were built to the glory of God. Like, it's just amazing. And they sound incredible. But what happens during so many of the services, there's a few people there, there's little life change happen, but what happens is it's essentially a museum. A lot of these churches, you walk in, and it's like everybody's just a tour guide on the museum, where there's few people being reached and few life change happening. And it's all because over time, people forget their mission. That it's not about what God's doing in here and, wow, look at our building in here. It's about reaching out. And so instead of being a monument focused on ourselves, we have to continue being a movement of God who's on fire for Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, and is passionately reaching out to our community, reaching out to our world, reaching people for Christ. And when a church does that, a church will always be alive because the presence of Jesus will be burning with fuel behind that because it's his mission and he wants to do whatever it takes to accomplish it through us. And so that's why this Imagine More campaign is not really about land and it's not really about buildings. It's not brick and mortar kind of stuff. It's about people. It's about what God wants to do in people's lives and the story God wants to write in this community to transform it. To transform lives. I believe that lives are going to be changed because of Jesus, all because of us taking a step into this. And I want you to just, each week what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to cast a vision about what this can look like for our future, imagining certain things. Today I want to focus on the overall vision of this initiative, and it really is to imagine a home. I want you to imagine a home with a 24/7 presence. Now, not just a home for us, but a home for our community, a home for us and a home for our community, where people in our community can come and connect because we have a 24/7 presence. Now, here's the thing. One of the things that I've shared a lot here at this church is this stat, and it's grown over the years, but it's this. In this area, within a five-mile radius of Johns Creek Elementary School, there is about 167,000 people, a lot of people here. I mean, that could fill Sanford Stadium, the Georgia football stadium. It could fill the Gwinnett Arena, right? All of that together and even more. But out of those 167,000 people, there's about 80% of this community that's not connected to a local church. Sometimes people go on Christmas and Easter and, you know, there's my mama's church and stuff like that. But people aren't connected into a local church and probably to a growing relationship with Jesus. And so that means that here's what I know. As long as there's one person who needs to experience Jesus, that means we still have work to do to live out the calling and the command of Jesus to be his witnesses in the world. There's over 100,000 people that are waiting. waiting for a connection with God and waiting for a connection to a church. And I believe, as the book of Esther says, that God has us here for such a time as this, to be a church that stands in that gap, that's not just focused on us and not just focused on our mission and what we want to do inside the walls, but that's focused on how we can connect people to Jesus and grow them in their faith, invite people to experience what we've experienced in Christ. And so the thing that I love about this is I want you to just imagine creating a home with a 24/7 presence. When I think of 24/7 presence, I think of stuff like Waffle House, you know? They're always open, man. Like, it's awesome. They are there. They're present. Now, we're not going to be, once we have a facility, we're not going to be there 24/7 all the time. But there's going to be a presence there. There's going to be a sign there. There's going to be ways that people are going to be able to come and connect and ministry that's going to happen. And we are going to be able to reach more people more quickly. And we're going to see lives change forever because of Jesus. Now, here's the thing. From the beginning, we've always said, and we truly believe, that the church is not the building. Y'all have heard that a lot, probably. The church is not the building. In fact, God has led us in this journey where, as a church, we set up and break down, and God is teaching us every day something that he never wants us to forget in the future, that the church is not the building. In fact, when people throughout this community come, when people throughout the conference and other churches come, they say, God is doing something special here. Like, this place is alive, and yet there's not even a building. The church is not the building. But we've always believed that our vision for the future, God's vision, would require facilities. And so our view has always been that facilities facilitate ministry. Let's say that together. Facilities facilitate ministry. That's all it is. We don't worship a building. We don't put it on our website and say, oh, wow, look at the chandelier and all this, you know, all that kind of stuff. We probably won't have chandeliers, you know. It's one of those things where we're not here to worship a building, and it's not the ultimate end, but a facility, a home with a 24/7 presence will help us to put more fuel on the fire to the mission God has called us to reach and to grow people closer to Jesus. And so over the last 4.5 years, we've been in this facility, Johns Creek Elementary School. And we love it here. And they love us here. In fact, I just saw our name, the church name is on a sign over here behind the pipe and drape and stuff. We have a great relationship at the school. But one of the things that is so incredibly clear is that we can't stay here forever. We can't stay here forever. In fact, one of the things that we know is that there are so many limits to the amount and to the level of ministry that can happen in a portable setting. For instance, this afternoon at 4:00 for the youth event, we had to figure out picking a certain date according to when there was a facility open at Sharon Springs Park. We have to work so hard on facility things in order to do certain ministries. And so having a 24/7 presence in a home will enable us to do so much more ministry. More ministry can happen and more impact can happen. I mean, right now there's lots of people resources that get eaten up in things like setting up and breaking down. And some of you are like, amen, right? Here's the thing. We love our setup teams and we love our breakdown teams. But I would love to free people up to be more involved with ministry to people. This is where we will be able to reach more people and have more impact. And the other thing, too, is I see a church where it's strategically located in the community. It's one of those things where every single year we've continued to grow as a church. While at the same time, space in the school is becoming more and more limited. You can go out to the side parking lot over here and see our beautiful trailers that we've had to purchase to store our stuff. We once were storing everything in here, and now they're running out of space, and we're having to store things outside. But it's just a sign that anything can happen at any point, and we wouldn't be able to meet here. And it's one of those things where we have to be ready as a church, where we're not saying, oh no, what do we do? And we're not ready. This campaign is about getting ready so that we're ready to move forward with what God wants us to do. And so I want you to just imagine the bigger vision here of a home with a 24/7 presence. I mean, just imagine a place where it can be a home for our community. I mean, right now, this church, it's a dynamic church that's continued to grow with just a few hours of presence every single week. We put a sign up on Friday. It goes down on Sunday. And people drive all through during the week. And people tell us all the time, I didn't even know this church was here. And it doesn't matter how much marketing and all sorts of things. When you're present in the community, you can reach more people. Imagine what could happen with a 24/7 presence. You know, people drive by all the time, and these are people that God wants us to reach. But I see a church that's strategically located in the community so that we can be a greater presence for Jesus in this community. I mean, I just imagine things like for the high school and middle school sports. What if we were able to say, hey, we would love to host a meal. We would love to be a church for this community. So we want to host your pregame meal, and we can serve people, and it's an entry point into the church. I imagine after school creating a place where teenagers and where kids, chaperoned of course, can come in and can connect even during the week, where ministry can be happening, especially with teenagers. It is a time-spent ministry, and you need a facility to reach teenagers. It's difficult to do that without a facility. So it's to create something like that. And I just see this church where we can do so many different things, where people can come and connect. I also think of women's ministry in this area. One of the big needs is there's so many women who are looking for some kind of group to be part of, especially during the day. And one of the things that we have that going on, it's really good. But I just have this vision of like, what if we could be like a church that can be reaching hundreds of women on a weekly basis that are coming to our facility? We provide or arrange childcare, whatever it is, and all sorts of women can be in different groups, and we can have a presentation, however it needs to happen. But we can reach hundreds of women on a weekly basis that we can't do today. And so the thing is, I just see this. The other thing is there's so many, one of the big questions that I get asked by people now, didn't used to get asked this, but the number one question I get asked now by people out in the community is this: is there ever plans to get out of the school and to have a permanent facility? As a matter of fact, we do, right? But what people are asking is not, oh, I want a building and and stuff like that. What people are wanting to hear is there a future here? Is there a legacy that's going to be left here? Because I'm looking for a place for my family to be part of it. And when we're portable on the weekends and then we disappear during the week, it speaks that it's a temporary thing. And we know it's not. God's doing something. But by creating a 24/7 presence, a home with a 24/7 presence, it's like we're rolling out a welcome mat to our community to say, look, we're here and we're so glad that we're creating a home for you. We're creating a place for you with a 24/7 presence. And so this campaign is phase one of an overall goal to create a church home. We believe it's going to take a few stages to do it, just like it does in a lot of churches. This is phase one. And this phase, campaign one, is going to be a three-year campaign. And over the course of 3 years, it's about getting us in a position financially so that we have significant capital funds so that we're ready to move ahead or we're ready to negotiate when God opens up the right land or the right facility opportunity. The cool thing is God's already in this. God already knows where he wants us to be, and God is preparing not just the place but the impact that's going to happen. And God simply wants us to take a step and to be ready to go for when he flings open the door of opportunity, where all of a sudden we're able to purchase or to even get it for free. Who knows how God's going to do it? The right facility that we have cash on hand and we're ready to go. And so this is what this campaign is about, getting us in that position. And there's really three main paths that we have. The first path is the more traditional model. We could purchase land and then we later build a facility, you know. And there's several plots of land to do that. Option two is there could be an existing facility that maybe is not even available right now that comes available over the next 3 years or beyond that. And all of a sudden, we're able to purchase an existing facility and then renovate it to suit our needs. And so that's option two. Another option, option three, is we could rent something and with potentially the option to purchase. So we could rent something, renovate it, and all that stuff. So these are kind of the three different paths. So we've got a lot of options. But our goal over the next 3 years, our financial goal over the next 3 years, is to raise $500,000 or more over the next 3 years for our future church home. And it's one of those things where when we do that, the ball is going to be rolling for what God's going to open up. We can start negotiating in a bigger way with different places and start to secure the right kind of place. And I believe that, and we can do that. We can do this goal. We can hit it. In fact, all the experts that we've been working with, they tell us that goal, $500,000 or more, is all achievable within the means and within the context that our church already has. And so here's the thing. Over the course of this three-year campaign, we're going to be inviting you on October 30th to come and to be praying and on October 30th on Commitment Sunday, we're going to be inviting you to make a pledge of how God is calling you to give above and beyond your regular giving, what you normally give. And what we're talking about here is not about equal giving. So many times we're like, well, what's everybody's fair share? What we're talking about is not equal giving, but equal sacrifice. We're asking everybody to sacrifice. How are there things in my life? Are there ways in my life that I can sacrifice for the mission and for the vision that God has for not only this place, but for these people and to reach our community? And so our next step, if you think about it, the spiritual journey part, it reminds me a lot of the Israelites' journey. The journey the Israelites took on their way to the promised land. Because these Israelites, you may remember, God had just freed them from slavery in Egypt, and it was awesome. They were like, you know, they were told when to eat and when to work and everything. They move out of slavery in Egypt. God delivered them, and they're looking forward to what God had next, the promised land. And they couldn't wait to be there, but in the meantime, they were in the wilderness. And while they were in the wilderness, it was one of those things where they remembered the promises of God. That God had promised all the way back to Abraham and had reminded them that I'm going to lead you to a land of promise, a land of opportunity, a land that's flowing with milk and honey. But it wasn't just a land that was for them. So many times we miss that. So what God was doing is God was wanting to lead them to a home with a 24/7 presence in their area. Because the truth is, they were setting up pipe and drape and they were portable for so many times. They would worship God, but in order to do that, they would have to literally set up poles and draping and all sorts of things. And then they'd take it down. Then they'd travel to the next thing. God was wanting to create for them a home and where they could have a 24/7 presence, where they could be a greater light to every single nation of the world. See, the thing is, God put them there so that God wanted to do something in their life and to do something in their faith in a way that through that they would be a light. They would be the light of God that would reflect so brightly to all nations of the world to lead people to God. But on their way there, the Israelites, they're in the wilderness, they're portable, and they couldn't see how it was going to happen. Like, God, that's nice that you're calling us to this, but I don't know how this is going to happen. I mean, it looks like a big rock to push up the hill, right? And so all that they knew was that God was telling them, I want you to go. I want you to walk forward. And as they did, every single day, they walked with God and they had to trust that God would provide. And it wasn't just a journey, though, on foot. It was also a journey, a spiritual journey, that God was wanting to do in their heart and in their life. Because the truth is, God, they weren't yet the people they needed to be in order to lead them into what God had next. There was a journey they had to go on where God needed to grow them, to grow their trust, to grow their love for him. And as they took a step forward, God was going to make them a different person that when they stepped in the promised land, they were ready to be the light that God called them to be. And the same is true for the journey God has us on today. God doesn't want to just do something financially in this church. He wants to do something in your life. It starts with you. He wants to work in your heart and work in your life. And he wants to grow us all to prepare us to be even more and to have even more the impact he's calling us to have. And so over the next few weeks, here's what I want you to do. Three things. Number one, I want you to be informed. I want you to be informed about what's going on in this campaign, about what it's about. You may have a lot of questions. One of the things we're going to do to help you with that is as you leave the service today, we're going to give you an FAQ sheet with a whole lot of questions about what it looks like and stuff like that. So you can take that and please read it. Get involved as much as you can. The second thing is right after the service, I'm going to make myself available 15, 20 minutes, however long you want to spend, to just answer some Q&A. If you got some questions, I'll be happy to answer any questions you got. Anything's on the table is fine. So number one, be in prayer. Be informed. Number two is to be in prayer. Be in prayer. This is maybe the biggest one because it's a spiritual journey. Be in prayer, really. One of the things we do in the American church so many times is somebody tells you something, you know, and it's like, oh, this is going on in my life. And you say, I'll pray for you, right? And we mean it, like we're going to pray for them. But then stuff happens in our life and we get busy and work starts happening. And then all of a sudden we see that person again and we're like, I forgot to pray for this person. I really want you over the next 21 days to go on a spiritual journey of praying. I want you to pray every single day. And we've given you, when you walked in today, a 21-day prayer guide where to really help you to be praying, to pray for things in our church, to pray for things out in the community and the people God wants to reach, but also to be praying for what God wants to do in your life and how God wants you to respond to this campaign. The third thing is this. I want you to be available. Be available. Be available to whatever God wants you to do. Because God wants to do something in your life as you participate and as you respond. He wants to do something that far surpasses anything you could ever ask or imagine, immeasurably more. And so the truth is, just like the Israelites' journey and just like the disciples, God is calling the fountain. He's calling us almost like a city on a hill to create a home, not just for us, but to have a 24/7 presence where we can reach our community so we can shine a brighter light of Jesus into our community and into our world. And Jesus wants you, and he wants us to be part of it.